I'm Brian Nickel, Chief Strategy Officer for RSNH, and you're listening to AEC Perspectives. In today's podcast episode, we're spotlighting Women in Construction Week. In its 25th year, Women in Construction Week is an opportunity to recognize the achievements of women in construction and the challenges they faced in this field. Women comprise 11% of the entire construction industry and related fields, and that includes millions of employees. They represent only 1% of field construction personnel. Keeping this year's Women in Construction Week's theme, called Many Paths, One Mission, in mind, we are excited to have Patience Bonglack and Jackie Hart, two of RSNH's Construction Management Associates, as our guests today. Patience and Jackie are here to share their journeys and experiences and offer insight for anyone thinking about pursuing construction as their career. Let's get into it. Jackie, Patience, thank you so much for joining me on RSNH's AEC Perspectives. I'm going to start us off by giving our audience a little bit of background about each of you. Patience graduated from the University of Minnesota Twin Cities with a bachelor's in civil engineering. After obtaining her PE license, she decided to further her studies in the United Kingdom, where she obtained a Master of Science in Road Management and Engineering from the University of Birmingham. Prior to joining RSNH, her primary responsibilities as a senior construction engineer involved supervising and administering state and locally funded highway improvement projects, providing contractors with accurate interpretations of plans, documentation, measurement, and computation of contract items for payment. Additionally, she performed general studies, plan surveys, and layout for construction activities. Outside of being a construction engineer and inspector, Patience also has experience in plan design, from preliminary geometric design, vertical and horizontal alignment, initiation of environmental clearances, and right-of-way acquisition, all the way to the preparation of reports and contract documents for existing and planned projects. A fun fact about Patience, she is an adventurer. Now let's move to Jackie. Jackie Hart's extensive experience includes project management of transportation projects for highway widening, bridge construction, and milling and resurfacing. In addition to project management for large projects, Jackie has performed inspections on several highway bridge reconstructions, including the inspection of reinforcement and the monitoring of bridge deck pours, including slab thickness checks. Jackie's expertise includes construction materials investigation, including the evaluation of the integrity of concrete members. She has performed auger cast pile installation inspections, failure surveys for construction materials, building condition surveys, pavement condition surveys, and has been actively involved in projects involving the evaluation of the integrity of concrete members using ultrasonic equipment. A fun fact about Jackie, she loves fishing, kayaking, and Rottweilers. Two incredible women in construction join me today. I'm really looking forward to our conversation. Let's dive right into our topic at hand. I'll start with you, Patience. What drew you to construction?
Thank you for that introduction, Brian. What drew me to construction? I think for me, it's always been, there's three things that I would say drew me to construction. I'd say it's exposure, talent slash, you know, an interest in the engineering, and also like part of my calling, really just like, you know, like I said, exposure. My dad was a general contractor, And so growing up, we used to go visit his projects. And so I guess from visiting his projects, that like developed an interest in me. So that was definitely one of the things that got me into construction, and also just being good in like the sciences growing up. I think that sparked my interest in engineering and wanting to pursue a career in engineering. And then also, like I said, my faith has been has played a huge part in like me choosing like my direction in life and my path. I think it's part of where God has wanted me to be. So it's a bit of those three things for me.
Well, thank you for that. And having that family connection to the industry certainly had to be a great help to you as you decided what you would do in your career. How influential was your dad in you entering into this field?
Oh, man, very, very influential. He, like I said, was a general contractor. So throughout when we were growing up, always visiting his projects was, as I say, was because he's of late, so God bless his soul, was always an exciting thing for us to do. We would, I mean, partly because maybe they always served some wonderful food at the end of the projects. And so we were always looking forward to just visiting the job site and seeing how amazing whatever the new project was. It could have been a water supply, for a village that, you know, was built, or maybe a new school that was going to inspire other kids to get some education. And so that was a huge part of like my influence, which is being able to see the difference that these projects created in a community and in people's lives as a whole.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I think that's what we're seeing with today's younger individual, our younger kids in elementary and middle and high school, is giving them that exposure early on many times makes all the difference in the world. Now, let me turn my question over to Jackie. Jackie, what drew you to construction?
Well, I kind of came to engineering in a roundabout way. My family raised me that we were going to college. I had no idea what I wanted to do when I got there. In fact, I started out my college days going for a career in special education. So first 2 years, everything was concentrated on special needs kids, special education. And then it just wasn't for me. I switched 180 degrees and went into a mathematics major. And then once I started that, I love math. I took a couple engineering classes and it just snowballed from there. And when I graduated, I had an engineering degree, and I had no idea that's what my plan in life was. But I'm glad it was, because I've loved every minute of it.
And so that early change in your schooling had the biggest impact. It drew you to an interest in mathematics that you turned into a career.
Yes, I had loved math in high school. Since I had no direction, I just picked something that I thought would be, I guess, helpful, and just wasn't for me. When I started into it, it wasn't that I had that passion. But when I was doing math and got into the surveying in college and those kind of classes, that was where I had a passion.
What a great couple of examples, how in the earliest of ages where you have exposure to either the actual field work or to a field of study, and then that can turn, as it so often does in the STEM sciences, into a career in construction. It is Women in Construction Week, and I want to talk to you a little bit about and ask you, what is it like working in a primarily male-dominated industry? And Jackie, we'll start with you on this one.
Well, I don't think it's for the faint of heart. When I first started in the field, to see another woman was just not, you didn't see other women in the field, especially. When I started doing a lot of field work, you have the guys, I guess, had this gentleman side to them. They always wanted to help you with your equipment and help you do your job. And it was, a hard line to say, no, I've got it. I can do it myself without offending anybody. I think also having the confidence when you're surrounded by a lot of engineers and contractors who are probably 20 or 30 years your senior, it was unusual. You had to find your voice and not feel intimidated. I think that was the biggest hurdle to get over at first, was don't be intimidated by someone else's age. You're always going to work with people older. Somebody's always going to know more than you. And once you kind of get your head wrapped around that, it made it a lot easier.
And to you, how has the industry evolved or progressed with respect to women now involved in construction? And what have you seen during your career?
I've seen a lot of perception changes. I think the men in the industry are used to seeing, you know, us step onto the field a little bit more. I think that some of the construction workers especially that were probably the hardest to convince that we were capable of being out in the same field. I think the technology has helped us a lot. I also think the way society has viewed, you know, women a little bit as more equals in this industry has helped a lot too. I think just the perception change has done a lot. And the technology. I think the technology has helped us fit in a lot better with the older generation of contractors and engineers.
Well, that's a great perspective. And I'll tell you, we were talking earlier before we started the episode, my own experience having in the first part of my career, having a woman as a boss and having that exposure to someone in leadership was very helpful to me in my career. But I can only imagine if you don't have that in a male-dominated sort of in a male-dominated industry, how difficult that can be. But with changing perceptions, as you note, you can actually make progress in your career, and you have a different perspective now from when you started. Is that fair to say?
Yes, I think also. Having a woman, I don't want to say we're the softer side of construction, but I seem to feel like some of the guys out there, when you're talking to them, they tend to listen a little bit more to our advice or something. I don't know how to put it, but it almost seems like, especially now, it tends to, I don't know, the guys seem to like want to get your advice and hear from you and talk with you. And I just think we bring a different side to the industry instead of all rough and tough, you know, contractor. It's just a softer side from a woman's perspective, I think, as well.
Well, Patience, let me ask you the same question. What is it like working in a primarily male-dominated industry? And what did you learn from your father, for example?
Oh, lovely. I definitely have the same sentiments as Jackie about it being intimidating. Definitely when you first got out in the field. It doesn't help that a lot of times people think I'm a college student or an intern. And so when you're out there, they don't necessarily give you the respect because they think you're probably just interning for the summer or something. But initially, it's definitely, it was intimidating. But what I've realized over time is like, once you've worked on a couple of jobs, you get acquainted with some of the contractors and some of the subcontractors so they know who they're working with. So once you've developed a relationship with them, working with them becomes a little bit more easier. And it's more of like with any relationship, it becomes more friendly and cordial in the way we work in the field. What did I learn from my father? I think pertaining to working out in the field, just being honest a lot of times, and sometimes also expecting that from the contractor and when you're out in the field. I think that at the end of the day, the goal is to deliver a great product or projects completed with honesty. And so I think for me, that is something that I apply when I'm working in the field and trying to keep the people I work with honest as well.
You know, Jackie talked about finding her voice, and it looks like you found yours as well.
Absolutely.
And how important is that?
Absolutely. I think as a woman in the field, at some point, you have to find your voice. Because when you come in, you're definitely shy in the way you communicate. And depending on what side of the industry you're in, you have to communicate with them differently. I started out at the DOT as well. And so working with the contractor, initially, yes, like they downplay you or they underestimate what you could do, accomplish. But I feel like I said, with communication, at some point you develop a working relationship where they know like how you function and you know how they function. And so it ends up being a conversation. But yes, I definitely found my voice working out in the field.
So this is a great segue to my next question, Patience. And I'll just let you continue on, and then we'll go back to Jackie. What advice would you give to women thinking about a career in construction?
Man, I think the first thing I would say is that they have to like it, because it's definitely not for the fainting heart. If you're someone who doesn't like being out in the sun, or over here in Illinois, sometimes in the cold weather, you're going to dread being outside and standing and talking to contractors day in and day out. So number one, you have to like it. And then also confidence. I think confidence, that's an important aspect of like working in the field. As we just said, it's a male dominated industry. So as a woman, when you come in, you have to be confident about, you know, what you're talking about, and also be open to learning. Because like Jackie said, there are people who have been doing this 20, 40 years, more than you have. So you have to be teachable, open to learning, and also ask questions. Do not be afraid or ashamed to ask questions, because I think sometimes, especially in our field, everybody seems to have the attitude of, I know what's going on. I know what's going on. But there's always someone that you could ask questions to and not feel like you know everything, I think that's definitely going to be helpful. So just being open.
Wonderful answer. And I'm going to ask Jackie the same thing. Jackie, given your career and how you've progressed, what advice would you give to women thinking about a career in construction?
I want to echo Patience, because one of the biggest things is self-confidence. Don't let your self-confidence fail you. Have confidence in yourself. It's okay if you make a bad decision or a wrong decision, but understand why you made it. You know, when I tell my guys that they made a decision that was wrong, I says, what was the basis for it? It was a good, sound basis for that decision at the time. And you can't let that undermine your confidence. We're not going to be right all the time. What we talked about earlier was you feel a little intimidated, and that leads to doubting yourself. So I tell people, you know, there's an old saying, two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak, and you'll learn a lot. But don't let a lack of self-confidence prevent you from making good decisions, or just making them in particular. A lot of people won't make decisions. So I find that is the biggest thing. Self-confidence, and don't let the intimidation override your ability to make decisions.
Well, I really appreciate that kind of advice from both of you. And I think the many times our biggest issue is ourselves, right? Self-doubt, and not relying on all that education and all that experience that you bring to the project. And what you've just said is it's okay to bring that confidence in your abilities and your skills and your experience and expertise. And it sounds like you all practice that on a daily basis. How, Jackie, would you suggest that a woman prepare to come into the industry? What's important?
I think important is having a good foundation of, obviously, from the technical side of your math skills. Don't stop learning. if you have downtime during an afternoon or when you're not as billable, take some classes online at Red Vector and make those classes diverse. I find, you know, if you're focused on engineering classes, calculus, surveying all the time, you need something that complements that. You need something that maybe how to manage people or just something off the wall. It could be something as, you know, how to give a funny presentation. Because those are the things that make a well-rounded engineer. It's not the technical side. It's the other stuff that you bring into the field with you, I think. So don't just focus on learning the reading, writing, arithmetic. Go to the other side and learn some of those softer skills. I think debate is a big thing. I tell people, oh, if you can't debate, you don't need to be out there on the field with a contractor. Because that's a lot of negotiation and debate is our job.
What wonderful advice. I'm so excited to hear this advice. Because what you've said is you need to be a full person. You need to bring not only your technical abilities, but those soft skills that many times are the key to resolving a dispute or coming up with a solution. And so thank you for that incredible advice. Patience, what would you say to women who are interested in construction, how they should prepare in much the same way that Jackie did?
Yeah, in addition to what Jackie said, I definitely say during your summers, try to get an internship in a company or that is going to have you working in the field, because that exposes you early on to what to expect if this is the career that you actually want to go into. And so for at least 3 of my summers in college, I was out in the field working on a project. And so that gave me a glimpse of what is to come. So yeah, definitely try to get some experience. And even when you start looking for a job, just be able, like Jackie said, to sell yourself. To definitely talk about, it's great that you have the math skills and the great GPA, but like outside of that, what makes you unique to be in the field or to be an owner's representative? So definitely be able to sell yourself on the things that you could do outside of school.
So Patience, I'm going to stick with you on this next one. And speaking of careers and careers in construction, let's talk about yours. And what is the most memorable project that you've worked on?
I've worked on some really amazing projects. And not to downplay any of the other ones that I worked on, I think one of my favorites that I worked on was once when I was an intern in college, I worked on a light rail that connected in Minnesota, that connected my university, which is the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, to Minneapolis and to St. Paul, the Twin Cities. And so the first year of college, I used to take the bus from the suburbs into school. And I used to take, I think, 2 buses, 2 to 3 buses before I got to campus. And so this light rail, working on that project from the very early stages, and then being able to see it come to completion. I think they started working on that Green Line extension in 2010, and I started college in 2009. And so they completed it in 2014, which is around when I graduated as well. So just being able to see that project and work on it from the ground up and see it functional after that and just see how much it changed transportation within the Twin Cities was absolutely amazing. And so it's not just that I worked on the project, it's just being able to see the impact long after you're gone. So that's definitely one of my favorite projects that I've worked on.
That's a great example, and it shines a light on how important the projects that you work on and the lasting impact it has on communities. I really appreciate you sharing that project and its connection back to where you were going to school and starting out your entire career. So Jackie, what is your most memorable project that you've worked on?
I would have to say, even though it was in a small town in Key West, we did a project called North Roosevelt. And the reason I loved it, it wasn't just doing a road. We reconstructed an entire 3 miles of roadway. We shifted it. We added more land by putting sheet piles out in the ocean and widening the island. It was all new infrastructure. We put in all new water lines, all new sewer lines for the city, all new electric. So it wasn't just a roadway job or a bridge. It was a complete city infrastructure project, and you got to see everything. You know, in our business, unless you're doing, you know, work with municipalities, you don't get to see a lot of water, sewer, the electrical systems of an entire city go in. So I feel proud of it. It was very political, which was a learning experience. And I got to see the whole picture. So that's why I love it. And I go down there all the time and I can say, I did this. I take pride in being able to go to my project and say, this was partly me.
That's what an incredible example, because it shines the light on every project's different. And if you're working for a municipality, you may have to do everything, not just a road or a bridge, but the utilities and all the ancillary aspects to the project. There could be a trail involved. There could be pedestrian issues. And so each project has its own uniqueness. Is that why that project stood out to you?
It did. Like I said, it was very political. You know, Key West is a small town mentality with a large town tourist trade. So it has to balance itself between being the quaint Key West and a city that's got to accept all this growth that's going on. So it was very challenging. After 3 years, I was just wanting it to be over. But then when it's over, you look back and go, wow, it went by so quickly. But it's wonderful to see what you can do for a town. I mean, to improve the infrastructure like that and see it every day today and drive through there. It's nice to keep in the back of your mind.
I really appreciate that perspective and that view. I want to talk a little bit about trends and technological advancements that you've seen. Can you tell us what you're seeing in terms of trends and technology that makes you excited about the future of the construction industry?
Well, you have to understand, when I started, we had a beeper and a fax machine. So the industry, you know, just going to the cell phone and the internet and going from a CD, you know, into a you drive, it's amazing with the technology. Now what I see with everything, it's no longer just dirt and plans. It has become a technological challenge, not only for us as engineers, but the contractors have to come into this world as well. The technology with the GPS systems on equipment that can now dig to grade without any operators, or basically a touch of a button. The 3D design, which, knowing, you know, where I am now in my career, I'll probably be retired when that really becomes industry standard. It is in the last year just becoming on the market. And so it makes me feel a little behind the times in a way that it's advancing so quickly. But that's where the people like patients come in, and they're loving it. This is their world now. So, but the trend to go to the 3D design is new for us, you know, old hats. But it's nice to see what's coming in. It's going to really help the industry. It'll make things a lot safer, a lot less errors, I think. You'll see all this design is going to be able to catch a lot of field problems that normally we have to deal with in the field. So I'm hoping that it'll make our job easier over time.
I love the analogy from beeper and fax machine to 3D design.
I just aged myself.
Look, I remember the fax machine as well, and I remember the pager or the beeper, and to think about how far the industry has come, your ability to adapt says a lot about how you can now deliver better, faster for your clients. And I think that's a hallmark of using technology in the best possible way. Is that how you approach it?
I do think so, but I also seeing, you know, the younger generation come up. You know, when we first started, you had to write a letter. You know, there wasn't that email, everything. And patients, when I see their generation, it's much more stressful. It's very quick. You know, you can't say, I mailed the letter yesterday. Not anymore, because they'll say email it, and you have to be ready to email it. So I do see a lot more pressure, a lot of stress, a lot of fast pace in the industry that probably wasn't there 30 years ago. And that's all due to technology, in my opinion.
What an incredible perspective. So patients, talk to us about what you're seeing in trends and technology and what makes you excited about the future of the construction industry.
I think Jackie literally said it all with technology and trends. So in addition to technology and trends, I'm going to say what excites me is more women. I know this is not technology or trends, but more women becoming involved in the construction industry. But not only that, but having women in positions of leadership in the construction industry, because then they get to influence a lot of the decisions that are being made when it comes to the construction industry. And with women influencing decision making, it stirs the construction industry in a way that serves not only women but a broader audience, basically. So yeah, but yeah, just to add that to what Jackie already said.
Well, thank you for highlighting that and the fast pace of what you're dealing with. And no longer is it you send a letter out and it gets there a couple of days later, you wait for a response and it comes back a week later. You're real time all the time, 24/7. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, it is.
And Jackie, is that change been something that's been easy or hard for you to adapt to?
I think because it happened over time, it was just naturally you went along with the flow. I think if you put somebody today back, 30 years and said, wait for the letter to come in the mail and then jumped them up to this time, I think it would be a culture shock. But I actually kind of grew with the industry as it went along. But I do see it with the industry as a whole. I do think that the stress of the demands of the meet your deadline now, and there's no excuses because there's always that email and there's always, a scan. So it requires you to meet your deadlines in a lot more timely.
What a great perspective from each of you. Jackie, our industry in the construction industry it's difficult, right? It's time consuming. It's tough. It's as you've described, you're in the field, you're juggling multiple priorities. I want you to talk, if you could, a little bit about the challenges that you faced in your career. What's one of the most significant challenges and how did you overcome it?
Well, Brian, I had worked in the industry for about 8 years, and my husband and I decided we were going to have a child. And that was the hardest thing because I was so wrapped up in my career. I was getting my relationships in order. I was just getting to where I wanted to be. And then we had to make the family decision. So at 35, I stopped working for about a year and stayed home, had my son. And it was very difficult. It made me feel like I lost my identity because now I was in charge of a lot of important aspects at work. And now I'm at home and I got a baby. I don't have a lot of, outside support all the time. So it was a big decision for me. It was the best one I ever made. So my advice to women out there is don't let your career overload your life to the point where you miss out on those important things. Take that time out. If you can do it to raise your son for a year or don't be afraid or guilty to go to your boss and say, I have to take an hour. My son has a Valentine's Day lunch today or a Mother's Day lunch. It was very hard in the industry being one of the few women to be able to tell that to my boss that I need to take a couple hours. My son's school has an event for moms. So let go of the guilt. And don't miss out because my son's 24 and it went away like that. The time will just, you look back and go, where'd it go? So don't let that stuff go.
What a great set of advice and counsel to those that are facing similar decisions. And I will say men don't have these dynamics. facts. We men in construction don't face what you just talked about, and you highlighting that and saying that it's okay, that work-life balance is important, and you can still be a consummate professional. You can still deliver for your clients, but you also have to look out for yourself and your family.
And I see more and more sometimes the men in the professional industry, not necessarily the contracts, will say, I got to go home, my son's sick. But growing up in early, you know, 20, 30 years ago, it was a mom's role. And I just want to tell the women out there, your career will be there. If you're good at what you do, take that time, because it will still, you can come back to it. It'll be there.
Thank you for that advice. And thank you for sharing how you overcame that very challenge. So patience, what challenge have you faced, and what are the ways that you dealt with a challenge as you embarked on your career?
Oh, I don't have kids yet, but I'm going to remember that, Jackie, for sure. So thank you for that.
You call me. Thank you. I'll tell you, it'll be fine.
All right. Thank you. But for me, I think one of the greater challenges that I faced working in the construction industry and in the field is being underestimated. I think a lot of times, like I said, when you walk out on the job, especially as a woman and a woman of color, I think people underestimate like who you are and usually why is this person giving me instructions of what to do, or why are they trying to have conversations with me? But I think for me, it's just been underestimated and feeling like I have to prove myself over and over again. I think a lot of times when a man comes out there in the job, nobody's asking him questions. They don't even know what role he plays, but I think the immediate thing is to give him the respect, regardless of what role he holds. But I think for me, or a lot of women, you have to work your way up with that respect. You have to prove yourself over time. And like over here in Illinois, we have the construction season. I know down in Florida, you guys don't take time off for like the winter and stuff like that. But I felt like every construction season, especially if I'm introduced to like new contractors or new people that I haven't worked with in the past, there's usually a question of who is she and why. Why do I have to listen to her? So constantly having to prove myself, it's some kind of a challenge that hopefully with time, women will not have to like prove themselves to show that they're up to par. And, you know, when you show up, you get the same level of respect that men do when they show up in the field. So, yeah.
Well, I know from this podcast episode and from the examples that you all have shared, how important it is to do just that, to not be underestimated, to bring your full self and your confidence into your position, to use your skills and abilities in a professional way and set the bar high. You know, I want to shift a little bit here and give our audience a bit of insight into each of you. I've got a couple of questions for you, and I want you just to tell us what comes to immediately to mind when I ask these questions. So the first question happens to do with a saying at RSNH, and that is that we are driven to care. So I'll start with you, patients. What does RSNH's driven to care essence mean to you?
It means everybody making it back home at the end of the day, basically. Because when you're in the field, you're exposed to a lot of dangers. You have cars, you have pedestrians, and so just making sure everyone that is in the field makes it home at the end of the day.
That's an amazing summation of what it means to be driven to care. And Jackie?
I would say to take pride and ownership in your clients. These aren't just people we work for. It's not like you're in a line at Publix where you sell a product and they move on. These are people that we start to care for. We have relationships with them. So taking pride in that and getting to know your client like more personal level, I think that's driven to care too, you know? Because when I have clients, they know me, I know them, and I just have pride in knowing that we have that relationship you know, that we can work together like that.
Two wonderful examples of the essence of driven to care, both from a safety standpoint, looking out for your colleagues and your associates and your partners, but then also making sure that you're driven to care for your clients and for the broader public that the clients serve by the infrastructure that gets put in the ground. Thank you for those wonderful answers. The question number two, I'll start with you, Jackie. What is the one thing you do to support your mental health awareness?
Out of work, I go to spin class. I love spinning or getting out on the water. I love those. If it's during work hours, I love cafe con leche. I know it's not always healthy, but I got to have that coffee at 2 o'clock. So, but outside of work, it's definitely, I love spinning at the gym and I love getting out on the water.
That's a great mental break for you. Helps you reset. So patience, how about you? What's one thing that you do to support your mental health wellness?
Oh, community. Definitely community for me. Friends, family, something outside of work that, you know, keeps me vibrant and going.
Well, thank you for that. And I think that's important too, right? Mental health wellness and awareness is top of mind for all of us in our fast-paced environment. So we appreciate you sharing those special things that help you in your own mental health wellness. So what is the go-to break you take during the day to re-energize? And we'll start with you, Jackie.
I don't know. I don't take very many breaks during the day. You know, all I can say is just get up out of the desk. My coffee break at 2 o'clock, as I said earlier. But usually it's get in the morning and it's go, 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 go. And then before you know it, it's 5 or 6 o'clock and you're like, whoops, gotta get out of the office. So, but during the day, I really don't have to get up and just take that big break. Usually I'm in a zone. I stay in the zone. If I'm in the field, I'm in the field. So,
but we're going to make, we're going to make sure you have your coffee though. That's for sure. Yeah.
But I don't know, re-energize, you got to be energetic all day long sometimes in this job.
Absolutely. So patience, what is your go-to break that you take during the day to re-energize?
I believe in music breaks every now and then. Definitely. Definitely when, not when you're in the field, like in the middle of the road, but when you have a bunch of paperwork that you need to catch up on, every now and then you just need a little music break. 5 minutes, you know, just to get your spirits going, and then you could refocus yourself to, like, you know, back to work. But I believe in music breaks.
So I love that, music breaks. What's your favorite music?
Oh, I love listening to Afrobeat.
Nice.
Yes. So it's like high tempo, energetic music.
High tempo, energetic. So you've got that, and Jackie has her coffee, and I can imagine you guys are really going at them all day long, and then taking those breaks that help you re-energize and get back into your work. What great examples! Let me finish up here with a last question to give our guests some insight, and that is, and I'll go to you, Jackie. What is a saying or words that you consider part of your mantra?
Well, my mother used to tell me to breathe. Usually if I'm having a rough day, I just go, Jackie, breathe, breathe, breathe. I just tell myself to breathe, because you find yourself just getting so anxiety ridden or overwhelmed. And my mother used to tell me, Jacqueline, take a breath, take a breath. So now I tell myself to breathe. And that's probably the one word I say to myself more often when I get overly stressed.
That's a great piece of advice from your mother. And as we know, mothers know best. So I love,
of course,
I love the fact that you just take a moment, take that deep breath, settle yourself, and then let that anxiety fade away. What a great, great example for us. And so, patience, What is a saying or words that you consider part of your mantra?
I think one of them is everybody you meet is going through something. And so just being kind, regardless of the circumstances, you never know what, if someone is close to a breaking point or if someone is having a bad day, but just approaching everyone and everything with kindness.
Another great example, kindness, breathing, taking that time, making sure that you recognize that there are fellow humans that you're working with. Just like here, the ability to be kind and bring that kindness to your work changes the dynamic that you have on the job and off the job, it sounds like. So thank you for sharing that. Jackie, patience, it's been a real pleasure to have you on AEC Perspectives on our second episode. And I want to thank you so much for taking time to share your insights with me, to bring what's important to you so that we could share that with others in the AEC industry. And I'll just say, this is one of the best ways to kick off Women in Construction Week. And in its 25th year, I'm grateful for the time that you spent with me and the time and advice that you're giving to everyone out there in our industry. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for listening to this episode of AEC Perspectives. Follow or subscribe to AEC Perspectives wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And remember, at RSNH, we are driven to care.